The meeting's now live.
Thank you, and good evening, everybody. I'd like to welcome you all tonight to this meeting of the Southern Rural Committee. This is a virtual meeting, and it is being conducted with members and officers at various locations communicating via audio, video, and online. Before the meeting starts, I would like to invite the committee member and scrutiny officer, William Edwards, to explain how proceedings will work and to confirm that members and officers are in attendance. Over to you, William.
Thank you, Councillor Strong. I will start with a roll call just to ensure that the required members, officers, and public speakers can hear and be heard. If you could respond when your name is called, thank you very much. I'll start with our members, Councillor Barnard.
Yeah.
Councillor Bishop. Councillor Bishop, I can see you but can't hear you.
Yeah, I've had to click three times to unmute here.
Thank you very much. Councillor Davies.
Yeah.
Councillor Deacon Davies. Councillor Moody.
I'm here.
Thank you very much. Councillor Strong.
I'm here.
And Councillor Tyler. Okay. Our officers, Claire Morgan.
Hello, good evening. Yes, I'm here.
Thank you very much. We've got Lewis Franklin on IT. Can I confirm that Sergeant Guy Westwood can still hear us?
Yes, yes, I can still hear you.
Thank you very much. And our speakers and members of the public in no particular order. I have Caroline Langley. Sorry.
Hello, sorry, had trouble with the buttons.
Thank you. Anne Warner.
Here.
Mark Tattersall.
I'm here.
David Sample.
Here.
Lisa Lafayne.
I'm here.
Thank you. Margaret Trinder.
Yes, I'm here.
Thank you. Ian Brown.
Here.
Gil Sellers.
Hello.
Yvonne Hart.
Here.
Pamela Skeggs.
Hello, I'm here.
Thank you very much. Is there anybody present that I don't have on my list? Thank you very much. Sorry. Extracts from the remote and partly remote meetings protocol are included with the agenda, and the full version is available on the Council's website, which includes information regarding live streaming, noise interference, the rules of debate, voting, and part two items. Members are requested to ensure that they are familiar with the protocol. Are there any questions before we start the meeting? Very much. And I'll hand over to the chair to continue the meeting.
Thank you very much, William. So item one of our agenda is apologies for absence, and I've had apologies in from Councillor Nash, Councillor North and Councillor Frost. Item two of our agenda is the minutes of the previous meetings. So for the members of the committee, you have before you in the agenda the minutes of meetings from the 8th of January, 25th of June, 29th of October and 10th of December from last year. Do anybody, any members have any questions on those or points they'd like to make? If not, I will take them as approved. Can I now ask, could we just vote on that? Please, if all members, if you could indicate in the normal way using your raised hand. I just realised I haven't got my raised hand up. Okay, I think that is okay, is it not, William?
Yes, that's carried. Thank you.
Okay, I will now authorise that committee services will now apply my digital signature as opposed to a wet signature to the approved minutes. Item three on our agenda is notification of other business, and there is none. Item four is therefore Chair's announcements. So can I say I am particularly pleased to welcome everybody who's present tonight, for our speakers, for public participation, and also the parish council, parish councillors who have come tonight, because I sent out an invitation to all the parish councils that are covered by Southern Rural, because I thought they might be like to come along and listen to Sergeant Guy Westwood, because he is going to be making his annual presentation to us. So that's why, if anybody's wondering why we've got lots of parish councils here, I extended an invitation. And with your indulgent members, if there are any questions that members want to actually ask, and that's members and the parish councils want to ask or want to put to Sergeant Guy Westwood, he's normally very good and will take questions. But I could just ask that they are marked much more general about policing in the southern rural rather than to particular parish matters. If you have particular parish matters, then those really should go to your local sergeant or PCSO. So item, again, for my announcements, so just to remind that in accordance with council policy, the meeting is being audio recorded and as well as filmed. And the audio recordings will be available to view on mod.gov, and the film recording will be on the NHDC YouTube channel. And just a reminder to members, you do need to make a declaration before an item if you have an interest. However, if you discover halfway through the item that you have a declaration of interest, please make it at that point that you realise it. Then moving on, item 5 on my agenda is the Hertfordshire Constabulary. And I would say I'm very pleased to welcome Sergeant Guy Westwood to our meeting tonight, and it is over to you to make your presentation, Guy, and then I hope to take some questions.
Okay, thank you very much. If I miss anything or I don't have any answers at the end for you, then please bear with me. I've not had as long as I would have liked to have prepared this, the various events over the weekend that prevented me from doing it. So I've only had this afternoon to look through the figures and things. So anything I can't answer, I do promise I'll come back to you as soon as I can, or find you someone that can answer it for another date. But I'll start off with the team set up. We've had quite a few changes. Our chief inspector has changed now from Sally Phillips, and we've got John Roche, who took over last month, I believe, now. The Safer Neighbour team inspector is still James Lant, and our detective inspector is now Angie Griffiths. The urban sergeant is Alan Clark, and then you've got myself, Guy Westwood, obviously, as the rural sergeant. I did have a period of time that I was working over in Royston, but I've been back in post since April last year, so coming up to another year again back here in Hitchin. Rural PCs, we've got Johnny Streeter, Claire Wallace and Gary Pugsley now, after Matt Jenkins retired and Keith Harding retired as well. PCSOs, we've got Heather Burrows and Stuart Stone. Stuart's taken over from Becky O'Driscoll, who has become a regular police officer. She's gone up from PCSO and applied and has become a PC who's over in Stevenage now. We're also increasing our team of rural specials. They did go down just back into ordinary specials, but we realised that was a mistake. So I'm very pleased to say that we're recruiting rural specials again. So they're going to be very useful to have local knowledge. So we will be taking people on from the local community and just people that have an interest in the rural issues. So they'll be able to help with our figures as well. Over onto our crime figures now. It tends to be a little bit dry, so please bear with me. But all crime, and the figures that I've got are from the 1st of April 2020 to the 1st of March 2021, by comparison to the 1st of April 2019 to the 1st of March 2020. So it's the same year period compared to last year's. All crime this year for the county, 66,098 crimes, and last year it was 77,642 crimes. For North Harts, that's 5,693 crimes this year, and last year that compares to 6,987 crimes. Now, for Hitchin Rural, we've actually had a 3% increase in crimes, whereas it's obviously a decrease for the county and a decrease for North Harts. And so we've had 896 crimes this year, and it's 867 crimes last year. I'll come into my thinking as to the reasons why once I've broken the crimes down a little bit more. residential burglary for the whole county this year was 2,394 crimes, and last year it was 3,637 crimes. For North Harts, break it down a bit further, 159 this year as opposed to 337 last year. And for the rural areas, it's 21 compared to 50 last year. I think that is in relation to COVID matters. We've got more people staying at home. And so obviously less opportunity for residential burglaries. That is quite a reduction across the force, but it is also an area that we do focus on quite considerably in Hertfordshire. So I think that has helped as well. Burglary, business and community for the whole of Hertfordshire is 1,038 this year compared to 1,495 last year. For North Harts, it's 150 this year compared to 193 last year. And for the rural areas, it's 25 business burglaries this year compared to 32 last year. So that's also gone down. Theft from motor vehicle, we have had an increase here again for the rural areas. For Hertfordshire itself, we've got 3,707 crimes this year compared to 4,912 last year. For North Harts, 297 this year compared to 324 last year. But for the rural areas of Hitchin, we've got 67 this year compared to 54 last year. Although the numbers are low, that is a 24% increase. Robbery, personal, so when someone's had something taken by force off them, 574 robbery crimes for Hertfordshire this year compared to 908 last year. That's 23 for North Harts this year compared to 58 for North Harts last year. For the rural areas, it's only 3 this year, but it was only 2 last year, so we've got an increase of 1. Violence against the person, and these are possibly COVID-related when people are getting frustrated. It's very hard to break it down too far with the time that I've got as to what the reasons and things behind them are. But we've got 23,624 violence against the person crimes this year compared to 24,037 for Hertfordshire last year. North Harts itself, that's 2,089 this year compared to 2,473 last year. In the rural areas, again, a slight increase. We've got 341 this year compared to 336 last year. Criminal damage, we've actually had a decrease in this, and I would have expected an increase with more people hanging about getting bored, but I'm pleased to say we've got a decrease with just 96 for the rural areas this year compared to 111 last year. For North Harts together, it's 642 this year compared to 845 last year. And then for the whole of Hertfordshire, it's 6,516 this year compared to 7,765 last year. Theft from shop is a huge increase for us, I'm afraid, this year. But most of this is down to one particular premises that's on the edge of our area. And we're getting hit there by criminals coming from another area. We are working with that particular shop itself to see what there is that we can do. But it is a bit of a victim of its location. So for North Harts, we've had 79 theft from shop this year compared to 38 last year. And then for North Harts altogether, it's 448 this year compared to 558 last year. For the whole of Hertfordshire, it's 5,686 this year compared to 8,164 last year. So it is this one premises that we need to work with that has skewed our figures there significantly. Drugs offences, possession of drugs. We've got 18 in our rural areas this year compared to 15 last year. Racially religious aggravated crimes. We've got 4 this year compared to 3 last year. So both of those are increases as well. Domestic abuse crimes, for some reason, the system wouldn't allow me to break it down just for rural compared to anywhere else. So we've got the whole of North Herts. We've got 1,081 this year compared to 1,258 last year. And then for the whole of Hertfordshire, it's 11,804 this year compared to 11,407 last year. We are still trying to encourage people to report domestic abuse, and we do have daily reviews by a detective sergeant looking for opportunities. So it's the one crime report that we're trying to encourage reporting for amongst all of them in particular. But with regards to our rural crimes, we've always had a problem with underreporting, and that does tend to skew the numbers of police, if you like, that we do get in each area. So we do need to encourage people to make sure that they do report everything. And I think that message is getting through. Certainly for some of the crime types, we are getting more people that are reporting to us. And some of that is going to be down to the fact that Neighbourhood Watch continues to grow across North Herts. We've got 4,550 members. That's approximately 26% of all households. This is something that our PCSOs are pushing quite regularly and trying to get more and more people to join. And so with more people looking out, we are automatically going to have more people that are reporting things to us. With that in mind as well, antisocial behaviour reports have also gone up, but I would expect this, and a lot of those are going to be COVID-related. The system doesn't allow me to break down as to what is COVID-related and what is our regular antisocial behaviour. But for North Herts this year, we've had 2,294 reports of antisocial behaviour compared to last year's 2,277. And then rurally, we've had 308 reports compared to last year's 223. Now, this does cover reports of youths gathering, being noisy, so people reporting that there might be a COVID breach at the neighbours, and it also covers fly tipping and nuisance use of vehicles, so driving across fields and things. So there's a lot in there, and that's up 85 reports. So considering a lot of people are at home, a lot of people will be out and about and noticing more things, I don't think that's too bad to have 85 more reports. And as soon as things get back to normal, I would be interested to see what happens with that. As I've hinted, I think that COVID and lockdown has skewed a lot of our crime figures. A lot of things, particularly antisocial behaviour, have changed. And theft from motor vehicle rurally, I think, has gone up because there's a lot of other crime types that people are struggling to be able to do. Because there's a lot of people at home, for example, as I said earlier, we're going to be getting less burglaries. And so the people that rely on crime, if you like, to be able to cope with their lives are going to turn to something else. And I think theft from motor vehicle rurally is one of the easy ones for them to go to. That's certainly something that my team are going to be focusing on to try and drive back down again. Talking about what you would like us to be doing, we've got our priority setting forums coming up again. They're going to be next week, and we'll be doing those virtually again. And so we will be asking for people to send us what they think that they would like the police to be looking at as our priorities. They're currently set as antisocial behaviour around recreation grounds and parks in the rural areas. And with that, that will cover drug usage, because we've been having a lot of the NOS canisters and sort of little druggy bags found around laybys and park areas. And also speeding, St Paul's Walden and Kimpton area. That's 2 of them. And then Upper Stair, which is our crop damage, poaching and people driving across fields and crop beds and through hedgerows and things, and just general damage in the rural. We will be looking at whether some of these need to stay as they are. The speeding one, for example, we haven't managed to do as much work on as we would have liked because of all the COVID issues and other things that we've been doing. So I might leave that as the same area, but obviously that's going to be up for discussion. The idea was that we would set speeding as a constant rolling priority. We'd just move the area as to where it was so that everywhere in the rural got a fair shot at having officers there doing speed enforcement. I don't think we've given this area a fair shot yet, so I may suggest that we keep that one as it is. We've done a lot of work around parks and recreation grounds, and we've been reinforced with that because of the COVID patrols as well. Upper Stair, because there have been so many people out walking about and exercising in the rural, we've not had as much of a problem with as we probably might have done otherwise. But like I say, that will be next week. We'll be looking at that and we'll be asking people to get in touch with us. And so via PCSOs, we'll also be putting out a survey on OWL as well for people to be able to get in touch with and say what they would like. I think if you're all still awake, that brings me to the end of my presentation, and I'm available for any questions.
Thank you very much, Guy. If people do have questions, if you can raise your blue hand, and I am going to be very nice as chair and say that not any councillors, but if there are any parish councils that have got something burning they'd like to ask, I will indulge them and let you ask questions too, because I just feel this is such an important subject. My first question, though, you did mention, Guy, about the Rural Setting Forum. You said this next week. Is that a Zoom meeting, and do people know about it? Do we sort of go along? How are you doing it this time? Because I know when we did actual meetings, I remember going down to some hall in Codicote for it. So what's the plan this time?
Because of COVID, what we've done, we've come up with an OWL survey that will be put out, and we'll make sure that comes out as well. We'll find different ways to put that out, same as we did the last time. And also we've got Echo, which is a forum where people can just send whatever they think into Echo, and it collects all the different ideas that people have had, the different things that they've put in, and then it will generate the top ones that we think people want us to focus on. So it's a good tool for collecting thoughts. So I'll make sure that the address for that is also put out as well. I'm just looking through off the top of my head. I don't know what that is, but it was certainly put out the last time 3 months ago when we had one of these. And it's out there all the time for people to just write in. So it's another way of communicating with us, but it's not a way of reporting crime, because obviously you still need to do 101 or 999 for that. But if it's some regular antisocial behaviour that always happens in the same place, or you think that people are speeding down a certain street all the time, it's an ideal way of sending that in to us, and the system collates the responses. And so we have a specific week where we want people to write in about all the issues they've got, and then the system will collate these and make it easier for us to judge, you know, what our next priority should be. We'll also be trying to have a meeting with the farmers and landowners so that they can put their case across as well. But to try and do a Zoom meeting for everyone at this stage, that's not the way that we're trying to go for it, because it's a little bit hard to organise to get everyone access to be able to come into it. So it's right into us, really.
Okay, thank you for that. I'm sure that's helpful for everybody who was probably also wondering how they're going to get their input in. So I've got three hands up, so I'm going to call Councillor Ian Moody first. Ian.
Thank you, Chair. I think I'm going to annoy Councillor Barnard with this, because I think I've just got him first. Sergeant Westwood, fly tipping is big within the rural community. In my own patch in Codicote, we've had quite a bit that went all the way through to Whitwell. And what are the police doing about helping us? A lot of it's coming out of Bedfordshire, out of Luton, and from the travelling fraternity, and they're just dumping stuff. Are the police looking at this as a priority?
We're not as a priority because it is the NHDC, it is their remit, if you like, to lead on it. But what we're doing, we're assisting where we can. And so we're getting a lot of extra fly tips that are now cannabis factory related. So it's the the root balls and a lot of the materials that they have, as soon as they finish to flight it, they'll dump them on the side of the road quite often. And we will come out with those with David Fair from NHD enforcement team and have a look if there's anything evidential. Photograph them, the locations. If we're getting repeat locations, then we'll look to see if there's any technical equipment we can put in. But unfortunately, a lot of it is coming out of Bedfordshire. And because it's dumped on the side of the road, it's very hard to get anything further with it. But we're working with the council as much as we can with ordinary fly tips. Again, we will work with the council as we always have done. David Fair will let us know of some, and then ones that come through to us, then we will let him know. And then as soon as we get any evidence, then we will go to the address of the person and then we'll try and give them tickets or we'll get them in for interviews. So we're doing as much as we can, but it's such a large area and people are coming out of Bedfordshire just to dump in the rural areas where they're not going to be witnessed doing it, and then they'll nip back into Bedfordshire again. It's very hard to preempt. It has gone up during COVID. A lot of the dumps are quite hard to get into in recycling centres, and so people have to queue up. They have to sort their stuff a lot more than probably they used to. And then when everywhere was shut, then it just went mad, I'm afraid, with lots of people coming and dumping in our area. So we're doing what we can with it. We won't put it as a priority because, like I say, it's not a policing priority, but we're working with the council as much as we can.
Lovely. Thank you very much, Chair. And just one final question, if you could permit.
Go on, quickly.
Sergeant, yeah, I know we're in a bit of a COVID world at the moment and everything's changed. Hopefully we're seeing the back end of that now and we're moving forward to getting back to some kind of normality. It would be nice, and I know having spent 25 years within the police force, that we certainly miss the bobby on the beat. We see police cars drive through the village, but we don't actually see them get out of their car and walk down the high street and engage with people. I know we're in a bit of a COVID world, but it's also nice to see some police officer or the local officer turning up at our parish council meetings or full council meetings every now and again, just as a bit of a presence. It would be nice.
The problem we have with that is the shifts that we work. There's so few of us for the rural and all working shift work and the amount of parish council meetings. We end up with some people getting attendance and other people not getting attendance. And then it's a little bit unfair because it can work that way for quite some time. Or we all just end up changing our shifts all the time to try and attend parish council meetings. So we do try and put in a report to each one where we can. Or if there's a specific issue, like we've suddenly been hit in a certain area for burglaries or for vehicle crime, or there's some extra reassurance that's needed, if I'm made aware that the parish council would like a presence there, we'll try and make sure that we can be there for that specific issue. But other than that, it's just a bit impossible for us to be able to hit all the parish council meetings that we have.
Okay.
Thank you.
Moving on, I have Councillor David Barnard.
Thank you, Chair. I've had meetings with David Lloyd, the Police and Crime Commissioner. I attended the Barn meeting for rural policing, and I've been in correspondence with John Lant. There are a number of things that I highlight on every occasion, but we don't seem to be making any impact. I'm delighted, Guy, that you tell us that you're recruiting specials, and they may well be deployed in the rural areas. We were told that there's 111 new police officers that have been introduced into the force in Hertfordshire this year, not replacement for those who have left for one reason or another, but new over and above those numbers. And we're told that there's 166 more going to come in over the next year, and these are going to give Hertfordshire the largest force that it has ever had. But I can't help but think we're totally undermanned in the rural areas. We don't see the police that we would like to see. We would like to see more visibility during the day. We would like to see some police out at night. Car crime, particularly in Whitwell and Lillian Offaly, has been pretty rife. Whitwell has suffered badly. But there's nobody around there. So we are undermanned, whatever you say. We have PCSOs. I mean, Heather Burrows is an absolute diamond, but PCSOs have their hands tied to a certain extent. Obviously, they have hours that they can work, but quite apart from that, they have restricted powers that they can use. It would be nice to maybe give them a little bit of extra powers so that they could do some ticketing or something like that. I don't know. So we talk also about drugs. Drugs is something that I know, and Guy, you know too. Over the years, we've been talking about this. Every time we come along to Southern Rural, every time we go to our different parish council meetings, we talk about the drugs problems, and now these little silver gas canisters that are about all over the place. Whenever we ask, we always talk, well, we don't have the evidence. We don't see this. You know, we've got videos, we've got photographs, we know the identities, we've got the car numbers and so on and so forth, and we can give you all of that and have. So you say that you don't see this yourselves. Well, you come into the police, into the villages with police cars. I mean, can't we have a little bit of covert activity so we can pick up some of these little scroats, take them to court, find them big time, and let's put them on the front of the newspapers, and let's try and discourage other people from doing the same. You know, I know it's a bottom-up exercise there, and we want the big boys. We've got to start somewhere. We've got to get these. They are laughing at us, and they're laughing at our legal system. 18 drug offences this year. I can name you 18 in Offaly, let alone any of the other villages. So really and truly, we do need to up our game on that. And I noticed that that is one of your priorities, but I do think we need to sort of be a little bit more intensive on that, if that's right. The other thing, and I'm sorry if I'm keeping you here, 20-mile-an-hour speed limits. Every single village that I represent wants 20-mile-an-hour speed limits. And we are told that every time the police will not support this. You know, we can't enforce it. No, we know you can't enforce it. But if there's a 30-mile-an-hour speed limit, it's well known that people would drive at 34 miles an hour, 35 miles an hour, whatever it may be. And I believe, and maybe I'm wrong, that if you have a 20-mile-an-hour speed limit covering across a village, that people may go down to about 24 miles an hour, 25 miles an hour. So it will have an effect. And I think I heard you say that you were going out and enforcing speed in the villages. I'm sorry, none of my villages have reported that they've seen any of you any time in the recent past. But I'd like to see maybe every now and again, random villages targeted, have police out there with their guns and not real guns, obviously camera guns. although that's perhaps not a bad idea. And let's have some of these people prosecuted. Let's promote the drive safe system so that we can do a little bit more on there. I think you do a good job. I think that your hands are tied to a certain extent. And I think that all of this manpower that we're being promised should be apportioned out to the rural areas. But thank you for what you do. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor. I'm afraid there's very little with what you've said that at my level, with the few staff I've got, I can do anything about. I've got three PCs and two PCSOs. And if I do any plainclothes patrol out of such few numbers, I mean, my PCSOs, I can't do plainclothes patrol with, I'm afraid they have to stay at a visible presence. Then that's even less visibility for the rest of the area. What I do, I can't use anyone else other than my team for, I'm afraid. So it's quite hard to apportion three people out amongst the whole area that I've got. Yes, a lot of your issues I agree with, and I would welcome any new members to my team with open arms. But unfortunately, it's not down to me. That's something that I believe you've said you've taken to other forums, and I think they're the forums where something can be done about it potentially and get more people out in the rural areas. yes, the team used to be bigger. When I first was a NAPRD sergeant, then the entire NAPRD team was 10 PCs and 10 PCSOs. And so that apportioned out that I would have five PCs and five PCSOs for the rural area. I don't have that now, which is a shame. I could certainly use more people. We'd be able to achieve more, I think. But it's a case of trying to police a bit more smartly as opposed to with more people. So it's a case of I need more people to report stuff to me. I need to encourage people to do that, and then we can deal with things as it comes in. It may look like we're not doing anything about the drug reports and things, but it's evidential that we need. And I know when you see something, you see someone stick their head in a car and you think that something's exchanged between them, money goes in and maybe a package comes out and goes into someone's pocket. That's circumstantial evidence. And you and I both know that, yes, that was probably a drug deal. But without stopping the cars and stopping the people and checking what the package actually is, it's just circumstantial evidence, I'm afraid. So, yes, it's intelligence, and yes, we need it to keep coming in because it then gives us the people and the cars that we then need to be able to target. But it's very hard to actually go on what people are saying and to be able to make a difference with that until we actually stop that person ourselves. And with a small team, that's hard to do. But we keep putting the intelligence in that you feed into us. And then whenever there are other people in the area, like our traffic units that are county roamers, our firearms units, the dog units, if ever they are in the area, then hopefully they will have read the intelligence reports and they'll be able to do something about it as well. But my part of that, I'm afraid, is my three PCs and two PCSOs.
Thank you. And I have Councillor George Davis.
Thank you. Sorry.
Okay, thank you. Councillor George Davis.
Thank you, Chair. Possibly partially superseded by things that have been said earlier, but I'll ask just to check. So one of the things that anecdotally, at least, we've noticed locally has had a huge rise this year is, under the antisocial behaviour banner, is youths misusing our public spaces, and especially sort of parks and green spaces, where we've not just had the usual sort of late night gatherings and obvious drugs and alcohol, but also up to including sort of bonfires, stereo systems that have been a real disruption to local residents. So the first thing I was wondering is that a local issue, or is that replicated more wider across the area? And the other one is, whenever residents do contact me about this, my only recourse is to say, please do report this on 101. And I just wanted to confirm that my advice is correct there and that there's nothing else I can be advising residents to do.
Thank you. Sorry, I missed what area you were from.
Oh, sorry. So that specific example was Great Ashby, and the issues were in the Great Ashby District Park. Though I know other areas of my patch, like Wymondley, have had slight issues as well.
Yes, I know Great Ashby District Park was a huge issue for a while during the summer when it was really hot. We're getting a lot of people there. I believe that the gate now shuts a little earlier on the car park, and a lot of those issues have been prevented from happening because of that. We ourselves haven't had any reports, as far as I'm aware, for some time for Great Ashby Park.
Okay, that's very good to know. Thank you.
But with regards to that, yes, 101 is the number to call. Unless you think there are some offences happening at the time, like some damage, or you think someone's being assaulted, or there's something else happening, then obviously 999 will get a response as soon as possible. But 101 for general antisocial behaviour will always be recorded, and if it doesn't get anyone to attend there and then, it comes through to my team as an issue for a more long-term thing. It's not just Great Ashby Park. I do think COVID has had a lot to do with it, but people are people and they like to get together, and when there's lockdown, then, you know, people are obviously suffering, and then youths will be suffering doubly, if you like, because they like to hang out in their big groups anyway. So they will still do that. And then parks and areas such as parks where they can get together, they will do. That's why we've got it as one of our priorities so far, and I've made sure that we have a COVID car that does patrol. I've put all of the parks that we've been having issues onto the list for the COVID car to go and check round, and hopefully it has been having some success in sort of stopping people from getting together. But we shall see what happens once everything lifts COVID related, and see what happens with our gatherings of people. I'm hoping that the parks will quieten down a bit when people find other areas they can go to as well.
Okay, that's very good to know. Thank you.
Okay, Councillor John Bishop. And you're on mute, John.
Yeah, back at the seance. I don't want to prolong things too much, but the thought has just occurred that we would at least have an annual report from David Furr. I don't think we've had fly tipping on our Southern Europe rural agenda for a long time. So I'm just proposing that we put it on the next meeting agenda.
Okay. I'm sure committee services are scribbling that down as we are on this call. Are there any other questions? And I'm quite happy if any of the parish councils have got something that they would like. But I don't see any hands, in which case then I think on behalf of everybody say to you, Guy, thank you so much for coming to give your annual report and to answer the questions, as frankly as you had. I think one of the things I took away was that only 26%, I think you said, have of coverage of Neighbourhood Watch. And perhaps that's an area maybe with parish councils, perhaps to try and encourage more participation out there, because the more people that are in Neighbourhood Watch schemes are looking out, and also to start doing the active reporting. And you do see there's a particular car or lorry or a van. We do see a lot of things being posted on the Facebook pages, which are normally closed groups in the villages as well. But the more that starts to be reported, that helps you in your job with the intelligence you need to actually go after these people and do something with them.
Absolutely. That's the main thing that our PCSOs try and push whenever they're out and about, that and OWL, so that we can keep people sort of abreast of things that are going on as well. So that's certainly a work in progress, but we're definitely trying to sort of drum up business, if you like, for Neighbourhood Watch and OWL whenever we're out and about. So anything that anyone can do to help with that, then it's greatly received.
Okay. Well, on behalf of everybody, thank you very much for coming, Guy. And I'd also like to thank parish councillors that have come. I hope you've found that useful. Lovely to see you all. And I think we'll try and do this again next year when we have the Hertfordshire Constabulary here to do their annual report. At least then you've got the opportunity. And I think if you don't get to see, and as we've heard, it is difficult for policing to get the police to go to your parish council meetings, but at least you can come to Southern Rurals and see the police, and if you have burning issues, come. And if you've got any comments, please do feed those back afterwards.
Thank you very much.
Okay, nothing more on that agenda item. As I said, the parish councillors, you're all very welcome to stay on if you'd like. Some of you have got to, because you're going to be doing public participation. But it's very nice. It's been lovely to see you all. So moving on to item six, which is public participation. I have four members coming to give public participation. So I'm going to just call them in the order that I have them on my sheet. So first will be Caroline Langley, then we'll have Anne Warner, then Mark Tattersall, and then David Sample. So over to you, Caroline.
Oh, thank you very much for letting me come to the meeting today and have a chat with you about what we do. Also, just wanted to say a quick thanks to Claire Morgan from the community engagement team for all the help that she's given us to put this application together. I run Down the Woods. It's a forest school company. We have a walled garden in St Paul's Wardenbury. We have the walled garden there. And we're looking for some funding to provide forest school sessions for adults. We've had great success with forest school with our children. They build up self-esteem, they build up their self-confidence. We've used our community garden to work with adults, and we now think that the forest would be a really good way of getting our adults out into the forest, learning some new skills. Some of these skills will then transfer into jobs. Some of these skills will help them to develop their own personal mental health, and we're looking at how we can fund that for these people. We're aiming to provide this service for about 6 participants, possibly more if we can get some more funding for it. And we're going to be using Hitchwood. I don't know if anyone knows Hitchwood, but it's an absolutely beautiful setting. Beechwood. And it's a lovely place, and we're very lucky that we've been given the opportunity to use that for free. So that isn't part of our funding, so there's no rent for the woods. We're going to be doing some mindfulness style stuff. We're going to look at identifying nature, woodland crafts. Our rural crafts are so important. You know, we're looking at hedge laying, basket weaving, all of those sorts of things that are dying arts and are so important in the rural settings. Hopefully we'll be doing some cooking as well, so cooking on the fire and introducing our participants back into being social again. Obviously we've all been COVID and antisocial as such, and we need to get people back from social isolation and back out and mixing together as soon as we're allowed to. We're asking for £890. That will cover the costs of the sessions, refreshments and the resources that we'll need to carry this out.
Thank you, Caroline. Do any of the members of the committee have any questions? John, I see your hand is up, but is that a legacy hand?
It's a legacy hand, sorry.
Thank you very much. So I have a question from Councillor David Barnard.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Caroline, thank you. You mentioned our beautiful Hitchwood, which it will be very soon covered in bluebells, and just about everybody and their dog literally will be there. It is a most beautiful area. Unfortunately, it is totally and absolutely overused. It is a muddy quagmire now. The beauty of Hitchwood is being compromised in a major way. I'm wondering, to encourage more people to go to Hitchwood, whether that's a really good thing.
So the Boseline family, that's who I rent the walled garden from. They're very keen for us to use Hitchwood. They've also put in new pathways. I don't know if you've been up there recently. There's quite a lot of pathways up there. But I have access to the private part, what they call the forest school area. So it wouldn't increase footfall. It's just along the main path and to the left. It wouldn't increase footfall through the bluebell part. We're aiming to start June. So the bluebells will be gone by then. But the Boseline family are very supportive of what we do, and they wouldn't allow us to do any damage to the woods. Forest school has an ethos of no trace, so you wouldn't know if I'd been to a wood, apart from the fact that the rubbish would have been cleared up.
Supplementary, if I may, please, Chair. The walled garden you mentioned, is this the same organisation that received a substantial grant from this committee within the last couple of years or so?
Yeah, I can't remember when it was. I think it was 5 years ago. It was within the remit. We used the grant money to provide us with a summer house for a shelter, which we use for the children, we use for the youth groups, and we also use for our volunteer groups. And then that encourages people to come out in all weathers, which is what we're all keen about. And also then we can carry on providing our food banks with fresh fruit, which is fruit and veg, which is the other thing we do there.
Thank you. So very often this committee gives grant money to very worthy causes, and I'm sure yours is, but that's the last we ever hear of it. Can we look forward to maybe a report from you as to how that money was used and what benefit it gave to the community?
Yeah, that would be fantastic. And what I'd really like to do is invite you to come and see. That would be really good. Yeah, come
would be lovely.
And visit. Yeah, that would be great.
Thank you for that answer. Thank you.
Okay. Okay, I see no more questions. Incorrect. So we will now go on to our second member of the public. Well, I say member of the public, but second item of public participation. So that's going to be Anne Warner from Holwell Parish Council. Anne.
Hi there. Good evening. Holwell Parish Council would like to apply for a grant of £744. That's towards the cost of a new notice board, which will cost £1,444 plus that. I've researched a number of companies and would like to purchase this new notice board from Green Barns, who produce notice boards out of recycling material, which looks like wood and is very low maintenance and will last forever, I hope. This is a two-door notice board, one lockable for the parish council notices and the other side for the parishioners to put up notices of events and services to the community. This notice board is situated in the Holwell Road, the one we have at the moment, and it's in a state of disrepair. It is an up and over design with hinges which are flimsy at best, and due to this falling on my head recently, we have advised parishioners not to use it. The consensus of the parishioners is that they wish to retain a notice board at this end of the village, and that's why we're asking for help with the purchase of this. Mr. David Barnard has given us £300 towards this, and the parish council can contribute £400 plus the £210 for the installation and erection of the notice board. I hope the committee can look on us favourably and help us out at this time.
Okay, questions from members on this one? No, I will add, I mean, that the one, it's not going to be the same as the other one that's my end of the village.
The new one there, yeah.
The new one there.
It's going to be exactly the same.
Well, I can say I do think that looks quite substantial and it does look like wood.
Yes, it does, doesn't it? Yeah,
yeah, it does. So to think,
it literally needs just a wipe down and I'm really pleased with it.
And I think you're absolutely right. I think the village does need a notice board at one end and the other, because otherwise it's a very long place to then have to go and see what's going on in the village.
Yeah, it was very tempting to pull a thing down when it fell on my head.
Okay, then. Well, thank you, Anne, for that. So we will do the actual grants in our later on the next agenda item, but we'll just go through the rest of the public participation. So our next speaker is Mark Tattershall, who's from Offaly and Stockley Cricket Club. Mark, the floor is yours. I'm supposed to tell you have 5 minutes, but nobody really takes 5 minutes.
I was going to say, I hope not to keep you that long. First of all, thank you very much for inviting me today. It is most appreciated. I'm the chairman of Offaly and Stopsley Cricket Club, and we're a community cricket team born from a merger of Offaly Cricket Club and Stopsley Cricket Club, which was 23 years ago. Stopsley Cricket Club on its own stood for nearly 100 years, and we know Offaly Cricket Club, they've been playing at Offaly since at least 1923. We're appealing for £1,500, which is to go towards the electrical upgrade in our pavilion. Towards the end of the 90s, cricket Offaly was in danger of dying out due to a lack of numbers and no organisation and no fixtures. Stopsley Cricket Club, based just up the road, was well organised, had good numbers, but were simply using Luton Borough Council public facilities, and they're not very good, to be honest. The restructuring of clubs made perfect sense, so Offaly and Stopsley Cricket Club were formed and played our first season in 1998. The development of youth and opportunity has always been at the heart of our club. We're not a club looking to achieve world dominance or even local dominance. Our club's always been keen to give younger players the chance to shine by giving the opportunity to play with the bat, with the ball, which can differ starkly to other clubs who will often use youngsters just to fill the numbers, basically. Actually, after 2 years of playing in Offaly, the team had no members from the village for selection at all. Everyone had simply gone away. After our own consistent presence and local canvassing and many years of youth teams coming up, we can proudly say that 40% of our members now live or have lived in the village or have progressed through the youth setup of the cricket club. Dedication and passion and hard work means cricket in Offaly is in a much better state than it was 20 years ago, certainly. The general upkeep of the club has mainly been in the hands of volunteers. the playing square itself is done by one person, and he simply does it for the expenses of fuel and that sort of thing, and the love of the game, of course, and we pay him in a few beers. The outfield is cut by a volunteer who gets to see two of his sons play for the team, and he also gets a few beers for his trouble too. The yearly maintenance is carried out by, like I say, volunteers. It's a couple of club days throughout the season, painting, mowing, chopping back weeds, general sort of things. Money's raised that we need in memberships, match fees, fundraising events like sixes. We have a yearly sixes tournament that does very well, poker nights, bingo cards. And in the last few years, we've actually had to repair the steps, and it's allowed us to get some more catering facilities for the team we hold halfway through the matches. The actual pavilion also used to hold a youth club in there as well up until a couple of years ago. Unfortunately, the roof was damaged and let's say lots of water was coming through, which has now been fixed. The whole COVID situation has been rather unhelpful. Cricket activity was cut down hugely last year. And unfortunately, the expenses carried on as before, like upkeeping the grounds with materials, general club maintenance, insurance payouts, all without the income that a full cricket season would bring. We normally would charge a yearly membership, which last year we just didn't feel we were able to do because nobody could actually play any cricket. The pavilion we're looking to upgrade was visited by an electrician just over a year ago. He was quoting on upgrades to the main social club at Offaly, of which we're part. Due to the age of the electrics the building has, it's a million miles away from current regulations, and the electrician was generally concerned that it's a fire hazard. We've had a couple of quotes. The best one was £3,500, of which the Offaly Parish Council have been fantastic and granted us £1,000. We've matched that with our existing funds in our own account, and this grant will basically help us get over the line. If anyone's got any questions, I'm more than happy to answer. Thank you for your time this evening. And if anyone's looking for a game of cricket, we've got our first practice session on Saturday, the 2nd of April.
Thank you. I'm not a cricket player. Anyway, I've got questions from Councillor Don Bishop.
Sure.
Yeah, thank you. It's not easy to keep a cricket team going.
A lot of people, a lot of hard work.
Process again, I'm afraid. So to yourself or to Claire, when was the last time we gave a grant to Offaly Cricket Club?
I'm absolutely certain we'd never have had one.
I have to say, I can't recall ever having Offaly Cricket Club come to us for grant application before either.
They had something in 2014.
Was it? Okay.
So that was a very long time ago.
Was that for the cricket club?
Yes. According to my records, they did have some money in 2014.
Okay.
Thank you.
And we have Councillor David Barnard.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I don't know whether I should declare an interest here because 58 years ago, my sports master at school sent me to Stopsley Cricket Club and said, Barnard, you're playing in the second team on Saturday. if that is an interest, I declare that and we'll leave the meeting.
However, are you available this season?
Roger Pieperstock has already got hold of me. I did play a bit. I know that the Offaly Recreation Centre, of which you are sort of if you like. They received a grant from the parish council, they received a grant from Southern Rural, and indeed as a county councillor I was able to give a grant to buy this magnificent state of the art mower, which is for the benefit of the entire community as well.
Sure.
So well done for that. I really think that sport in our villages is so important. I think that to encourage youth and to encourage coach programs and so on and so forth is vital. When we come along to discuss this grant, I think I probably, if I'm allowed to vote, will be voting in favour. So well done you and good luck.
Thank you.
Okay. Any more questions? No, I don't see any more hands up for that. So thank you very much, Mark. And then that brings us to our last public participation, and it's David Sample from Offaly Parish Council.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, committee members, for the opportunity to talk to you this evening. I'm not normally long-winded, but I've got several pages here, but won't keep more than 2 minutes. Offaly Parish Council is responsible for two villages, Offaly and Cockenhoe, and we have also Mangrove Green and Tea Green. So we're quite a wide distance apart. A couple of years ago, through hard work with the parish council and the residents, we cobbled together some funds and we started a play area on a field in Elmtree Avenue, Cockenhoe, which was donated to the parish by, as it was, North Hearts Homes, because they couldn't build on it anyway. This particular project, I'm increasing from two to several pieces of play equipment for children under 12. And the current project is running at around 10,500 plus VAT. As most of you are aware, the parish can get the VAT back, so that's not a major problem. The funding request is for £2,000. The parish council are putting in £5,000 from the PC funds, and I have cobbled together £3,500 from the PC current bank balance. The equipment we put in 2018 was so well received that I've been since then really been looking for some funding for it. And we'd look for sympathy from the committee members, please. Please to answer any questions. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, David. Anybody got any questions?
It's going to be me again, Chair, if you don't mind.
That's all right.
I seem to be dominating. Could I ask, please, David, have you applied elsewhere, for instance, to Luton Airport Community Fund or any other funds of that nature? If so, what result?
No, I haven't, Councillor Barnard. I may sound a bit boorish now, but if you've seen the application form from the airport, then you understand why we don't. In the past, Offaly and Cockenhoe were within landfill districts. They closed the landfills, and that was one of the best ways of funding children's play areas. I was hoping that because the parish itself was putting in £8,500, that you guys could squeeze a couple of thousand for me.
Can I ask you, David? What you said? You've got two pieces of play equipment in the initial when you started the play area. So what is what's the extra funding going to buy? What sort of pieces of equipment are you looking for?
Children's play area. There's a Land Rover. A couple of wiggly toys, a couple of dwirlies. The information was sent through with your package.
Chair, if I could just cut in Appendix 1, there's pictures of what the play equipment is, exactly what the play equipment that the Parish Council wants to buy.
Ah. See, on my tablet, I didn't see the pictures. I only saw things written, words. Okay. I didn't click those.
I'm sure the parish council will allow you to use it if you want to.
Okay. Are there any further questions? Any further questions on that? No. In that case, can I thank our four public speakers for their presentations? You are welcome to stay. And we now move on to item 7, which is our grants and community update. And I'll hand over to Claire Morgan for this.
Thank you, Chair. I'm just looking over this way to have my report in front of me, which I'm sure everybody's read and remembers every single word of it. if I go first to the finance bit, which outlines how much money you've spent this financial year, as this is the last meeting in the current financial year, and how much you've got left. That comes under 10 on the report. And also the spreadsheet is on Appendix 2. But you started the year with 8,700. And so far you've spent £3,901. So you have 4,799 available. The grants that have been requested this evening add up to 4,634. So if members are minded to agree all the grants as outlined in the report, you'll have a carryover of £165 to go into next year's budget. If I go up to the recommendations, and then we can take those one by one.
Can I just one thing to clarify, Claire?
Yeah.
When we had the presentations were made to us, I noted that the Offaly and Stopsley Cricket Club, I think in the presentation, were asking for 1,500
yes.
as their shortfall. However, in your grant recommendations, you've only suggesting a recommendation of 1,000.
That's correct, because on their application, they've said that the electrical upgrade is going to, the quote they've got is for 3,500. They're putting in 1,500 and Offaly Parish Council providing 1,000. So they've already got 2,500 towards it. Therefore, they only need 1,000, not 1,500.
Okay.
So that's why I put 1,000 in the report.
If I'd made through the chair, the initial application, which I helped Mark with as parish clerk, we sent into community and they found my error and we apologised, and the numbers now are correct, which is Claire is acknowledging. Thank you, Chair.
Which Claire?
Claire Morgan, I think he means.
Okay.
Yes, sorry, Claire Morgan.
Okay.
I can't call you Claire because you're in the chair.
Okay, thank you. So that's 1,000 then. Okay.
That's
1,000. Right, thank you for clarifying that.
We can't afford another 500.
I'll take any loose change you've got for the cricket club. Thank you.
Thank you, David. Right, okay, so we have four grant applications before us tonight. If we take them one by one, the first grant application is from Down the Woods, who are requesting £890. Do we have any comments anybody wish to propose? Well, I am happy to propose, if none of the rest of you, I am very happy to propose a subject of the £890 for the Down the Woods project. I think it's an excellent project. And I have to say, I'm really looking forward to my invitation to come along and have a look and see what you're doing as well. Could I have a seconder for that?
Yeah, Claire, I'm quite happy to second it.
Thank you, Councillor Moody. So can we take a vote on that? Show of hands. Please use your buttons, please.
Oh, right. Okay.
Sorry, just to clarify, we're still having Zoom problems with respect to the voting procedure. Can I just ask all members voting in favour, raise their hands now.
Do you want virtual hand or proper hand?
Virtual hand for preference, but I can see your proper hands as well.
Well, is the green button not working?
No.
No, in short. Right.
Sorry, I should have mentioned that. So we're using either the raised,
okay,
real hand or virtual hand. But it looks
in any case, Chair, that vote is carried.
That's carried. Okay, thank you very much. Let's move on to the next grant application, which is for Holwell Parish Council. Could I have a proposer for that? The grant application is for £744.
Happy to propose.
Thank you, David. Do I have a seconder? Is that you, George? Or is that?
Happy to, though I believe Councillor Barnard had his hand up.
Well, he proposed, if you could second.
Oh, happy to second that.
Okay, in that case, can we go to the vote? And those in favour, please raise your blue hand on your...
Blue hand. That one.
So I believe, William, that is carried.
Thank you, Chair. That is also carried.
The third application we have in our report is for the Offaly and Stopsley Cricket Club. Again, the application here is for £1,000. So you've had that clarified now.
Can I vote?
Yes, you can vote. I'm sure that's in order. So Councillor Barnard has proposed. Do we have a seconder?
Yeah, quite happy to second again.
Thank you very much, Councillor Moody. In that case, can we take the vote, please? Please raise your virtual blue hand if you're in favour.
Once again, Chair, that vote is carried.
Thank you. And the last application we have, Offaly Parish Council, for £2,000 for the purchase of playground equipment. Again, I'm looking for a proposer or...
I'm quite happy to propose. I think children's play and the COVID period is very important, so I'm quite happy to propose that.
I think you should second this, Claire.
Okay, I'll second it then. If you'd like to propose that, Councillor Moody, I'm very happy. I totally agree with you. And I think, as it was said to us, it's a large patch and covers a wide area. And it's not like some parish councils where they have one play group for the whole of their village. But this parish council is got a number of communities, and I agree with you. I think that play area is absolutely after COVID, and to get the children out and playing again will be just so wonderful. So can we have a vote then? Raise your hand, your blue hand, if you're in favour. Looking for the vote. Thank you very much.
That's carried.
Lovely. Thank you very much. Thank you, Bob. Thank you, everybody. And also thank you to all the speakers that we've had. I say, you're all welcome to stay as we go on to our next couple of agenda items. I'm moving on to item 8. This is ward matters and outside organisations members to report. And Councillor Nash has sent me a little summary, if I can get into my notepad. And she sent her apologies. And she just wanted to let the committee know that things going on in Nebworth, the Nebworth Town Twinning Association had just had Kim Wilde and her husband, Hal Fowler, had become president, and Lord Cobbold has retired in that role as he is suffering ill health. And also that Nebworth Village Trust had paid for a number of laptops for the Nebworth Village School to help those children without the facilities at home when everybody's been doing the homeschooling. And that was what she liked, just letting us know what she was up to. Does anybody else have anything items they'd like to report in from what's activities in their own communities?
I've got a couple, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Moody.
There's a lot of concern at the moment within the village around the neighbourhood plan, which I believe we are due to hear on in the next couple of months. There is one of our sites is possibly coming up again in March. There's a lot of concern that it will go before we hear on the neighbourhood plan. So there's a lot of work being done by the villages to that, to stop it until we've heard the inspector's report. And two things that we were involved in a couple last night is Coddy Fest is going to happen again. That's now kicked into life. And Coddicott Village Day has been delayed from July, and it's now going to take place on the 18th of September. So there's a lot of excited people about getting back out and having Village Day and getting back to some normality.
Chair, with regard to the local plan, I understand that the Cabinet are going to consider the inspector's deliberations and recommendations on the 21st of this month. A little bird tells me that it doesn't bode well for the east of Luton.
Yes, I think I've seen it as a proposed to go on the agenda for Cabinet. But yes, I haven't seen the report, so I think we'll wait to read that.
Yeah, never mind. The
one thing that I was sent through during the month, and that was from Louise Symes, was the parking strategy. And I know in previous years we've actually had a report on the from the parking strategy, and this was more about car parking charges and the raises that are going to be going ahead in the car parking in the towns. And they did discuss it at Hitchin Committee last night. Now, the only area we have car parking is Nebworth. Unfortunately, neither of the Nebworth councillors are here tonight, but the Nebworth Parish Council is helping to subsidise that up to £3,500, I believe, they've allocated in their budget for that. But I'm not sure, you know, in future months, whether we would want to be consulted as Southern Rural on the parking strategy. I was, in some ways, I kind of feel I'd like to be, because it's our residents that invariably are going into the town and actually paying the car parking charges. We don't all have the opportunity to walk into the town to do our shopping, because if we have walked for a lot of the villages, it's quite a number of miles, and then you've got to carry heavy shopping home again. But the only comments I had made to Louise Symes is I thought she actually should be consulting with the councillors in Nebworth. But I don't know what the rest of the members feel. Perhaps next year, do we want to have the parking strategy here for us to discuss or not?
I think we'll probably make comment at full council and in committee rather than maybe discuss it in Southern Rural. I don't know.
Okay. Thank you for that. Anybody else got anything more they'd like to talk about from the villages?
Yeah, can I say something?
Yes, go on, John.
I'm not sure if this is the appropriate point on the agenda, or as the appropriate item, but I just wanted to flag up, we have a listed barn on the edge of Kimpton, where a planning application was submitted. It's awaiting approval, but the applicant has been doing significant works on the barn since October. That has been flagged up by neighbours to our planning department. It would appear the planning department, for some reason, hasn't seen the numerous messages about this. I got involved 2 weeks ago, and we seem to have a serious problem. It's a potential enforcement issue. Obviously, I can't speak. I have to speak very carefully about that. And I was very interested to see Jim McNally's report on what's going on with our planning department. So I thought I'd just flag that up to you. It's not really.
Okay.
If I'm coming here, can I just very quickly add to that? I had a lengthy conversation with planners this afternoon. Currently, they're 6.5 staff down, which is quite significant. For instance, Nebworth had an application for a grant in which needed planning permission beforehand. The closing date for the grant was tomorrow. The time that it should have been determined was the 28th of January. They stand to lose £60,000. Our planning department cannot cope at the moment. We've got to be a little bit patient, maybe, and we've got to be a little bit supportive of them. But it's a difficult situation.
Okay, in that case, if there's nothing more that members want to raise under that particular item on ward matters, we'll move to item 9 that I put on the agenda. And this is a discussion topic that I wanted to seek your views on, which was around having a Southern Rural Councillor's surgery. And the reason I put it on there is I had an email from Councillor Judy Billing, as you know, is the member responsible for community engagement. And she wanted to ask whether or not, as a committee, we felt there would be value for starting a new surgery, that we would then hold and invite constituents within the southern rural area to come and speak to us. And this was as a result, she's suggesting it because there were some social media comments that she'd picked up, and also at the Hitchin surgery that is held, and I actually go to it, as does Councillor Barnard. We do quite regularly get people in those surgeries, which are from the rural areas, and we talk to them there. But I think her concern was that obviously that surgery is only Hitchin, which is, if so, when somebody does come along and they want to talk about outside Hitchin issues, they normally say, oh, no, this is just for Hitchin. Now, I did check with Royston, and Royston, their surgery is held for Royston and the surrounding areas, I believe. But I do wonder what the committee feels about whether they feel that we would want to start our own surgeries up and how we would do this. Because a lot of us do go and attend our parish council meetings on a, I would say, fairly regular basis. Our parish councils are quite often well attended if there is an issue or a concern, and they do have their own public participation where we can hear and engage and listen to views and have the opportunity to talk and advise. But do we feel that we need to have our own surgery? Comments, please.
Is it going to be me first again?
You could go, but no, actually, the first hand that's gone out, Councillor Barnard, is Councillor Davis.
So oh, good. Well, thank God for that. Good. Carry on, George.
Yeah, I was going to say, I do really like the idea. I have noticed the lack of surgeries that certainly I myself am involved in down where I am, sort of tacked onto the north of Stevenage. I do wonder if the scale and the sort of the area of southern rural really lends itself though to an in-person surgery. I presume that we would sort of rotate the location and be expecting people to come to us from all over the place. And so what I wondered actually is, does this lend itself more to a virtual surgery?
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know about everyone else's experience, but certainly at parish council meetings, I've actually noticed attendance is very much up from the general public since we've gone virtual. And so actually this could be one where remaining virtual after restrictions lapse could be advantageous.
Well, can I pick them one up? Do we know if future meetings are going to be hybrid for all council meetings?
I think the plan for surgeries could be that we might be on, you know, if the Hitchin meeting was there, they might be on the square, but also have the opportunity for members of the public to dial in. I think is that Claire Morgan might be able to advise me. Is that something that's going to be looked at so that councillors could have a hybrid sort of meeting?
Yes, I think we were going to look at whether that would be possible so that when we're back meeting people face to face in Hitchin, at least, perhaps we can have a laptop available that we can also be on Zoom so that people can join on Zoom if they wish to. But I do agree, as in terms of a southern rural surgery or some kind of community engagement forum, as Councillor Davis mentioned, because southern rural is such a large area, there's no kind of logical hub in the middle of it because it's so spread out. So I think a virtual meeting or something would probably work better.
Councillor
Barnard. Thank you, Chair. I believe that in the rural areas here, I mean, for instance, we have seven parish councils that meet, and nine altogether. Last night, there was a meeting of Offaly Parish Council, Preston Parish Council and St Paul's Warden Parish Council, which I was able to attend to by Zooming and not Zooming along in my car. at pretty well every parish council that we go along to, and Claire yourself, we meet there very, very regularly. There is normally an area on the agenda for public participation, which will have the questions from the public to the parish council, and very often the parish council will involve the district councillors with anything that they want advice on. So if there is a query from any member of the public, they know that they have the ability to go along to their parish council. Their parish council meetings are generally advertised in the local magazine, whatever it may be. For that reason, I don't believe that this is a good idea. However, going back to, because I'm ever so old, originally there were three areas, Area 1, Area 2 and Area 3. How novel is that in North Harts? Area 3 was Hitchin and rural areas. Now, that was only split up into Area 1, 2, 3 and 4 for political reasons in 1994 or 5, whatever. But
6, there is no reason it was 1996.
Thank you so much. You youngsters have got better memories than me. There is no reason at all why we shouldn't have, with our surgeries, Hitchin and rural surgery. We meet in the marketplace, and let's face it, a large percentage of the people who walk through that marketplace have come in from the villages. They will see us there, they can ask the questions, and so it doesn't have to be exclusively Hitchin councillors. It can be Hitchin and rural councillors. And I think that's probably the best way of going forward.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, that's an agreement. I mean, again, when you look at the with such a wide area, and it is some sort of the villages like in Cockenhoe, Breechford Green, that way, when they're going out and about, if they do come into Hitchin and see us there, then yes, I think it would be lovely if we could say, come and speak to us, and that we would know that there would be a rural councillor there. But I'm also minded that, the residents that are in Nebworth and Coddicott, they might be heading off down to Welling. But we know that there are parish councils going on in there, and we know that our councillors attend those parish council meetings, so are seen and able to engage with the public at that point.
I wonder, Chair, whether we've got with us still this evening, Anne is still with us, Pam Skeggs is with us, Margaret Trinder and Lisa are with us, and Amanda is here from Breechwood Green. I wonder if they would have an opinion, whether they thought that it would be beneficial for the residents to be able to have a southern rural or maybe a Hitchin and rural, if they have any comments to make.
Amanda's moving forward, so.
I'm trying to unmute myself. I think Hitchin and rural makes sense. Like you said, that our residents will go into Hitchin to shop, and if you're on the market square, it makes sense to come and talk to you if we see you there.
I'm inclined to agree. Margaret? I would agree with Amanda as well, that I think for Preston, which is a very small village, most people in Preston go into Hitchin at some point. And if they had something, they would probably go to a surgery in Hitchin. But people certainly do come to the parish council as well. It's what you said earlier on. If necessary, we pass things on.
And I think there's always with the parish councils and the clerks, if they know that there's going to be a lot of interest, they do normally the clerks tip us off, I think you ought to be here, try and get to this meeting because there's this issue. And, again, it's always, as David says, it's always difficult with the wards we've got, because some of the parish council meetings clash with each other and they also clash with some of our NHDC meetings. It is kind of the sort of flexibility of trying to get there if we know that this one's more important than, if there's a big something brewing as an issue. I mean, the last Hitchin area committee, there were two members of the public that turned up. The first guy that turned up, it's quite funny, he looked around and he said, "Where is everybody?" And I think he thought he'd come to like the Hitchin committee, always have their town talks before their area committee. And they said, no, it's just where you can come and ask questions. He said, "Well, I haven't really got a question." So then he left. And the next gentleman that arrived was from Kimpton, who'd just seen it advertised. And he'd seen it advertised on the Owl, I think it had gone out on. And so he'd come along. And again, it was sort of they were trying to say, well, this is really for the town. But I think a lot of the issues that villagers do have is with the town. You know, when we go into town, it's about the parking, or it's, you know, it's about, you know, whether if we want to go and use the public toilets, if there's a problem with those, you know, those are issues that are going to be brought up, or it's using the library, or it's using, you know, it's using the swimming pools. Those are things that actually, I think, you know, if we're all sort of all in it together, councillors from the town and the rural areas, I think to me it makes sense. And plus it doesn't add any more expenditure onto the limited resources of actually having to have officer time to support an additional surgery.
So, may I say something, please?
Yes, Pam, come on in.
Thank you. I think to have, St Ipolit's, as you know, is we've got part in Hitchin Priory and part in the rural, so we've got North and South Ward, and I think it'd be a brilliant idea if Hitchin and the rural met on the marketplace, as well as coming to our parish council meetings. I think it's a good idea to have a separate one, as you've already discussed, would be very difficult, I think, to deal with. Thank you for asking.
Thank you for contributing and staying through for the end of this meeting. I think I've got the answer, and I will therefore write back to Councillor Billing, and I'm sure she can listen to the debate as well. The other thing is, I mean, this was a bit of a trial as well, inviting the parish council chairs to come along, because, again, I felt because of the, we're having the North, the Hertfordshire Constabulary here. Is that something that, you know, if we put on, you know, if there's a specific perhaps item of interest, would you like to be invited to come again?
Yes.
Yes, yes, please. Definitely. Yes.
Mm. Yeah, and it's interesting.
And is there any particular topic that you would like us to try and pick up on? You don't have to answer now. I mean, this is the last meeting for this civic year, so we haven't set the agendas and that for next year at all. But if you do have, if there is something burning that you think that would be good, because what I know that is missing is like the rural conferences that they used to hold. But I can see Anne Warner is waving at me.
Yes, for the police, really, you know, I think that was a great idea. And I believe that fly tipping is the most important thing, really, in this rural area. So I can't believe I was out driving, going to a dental appointment, and I'm just going along the road seeing so much litter just obviously thrown out of car windows. And, you know, if there was police around, they'd be better off raising lots of money by fining them all. You know, now the trees and all that are bare, you can see it. It's so bad everywhere. I think it's a major issue.
There is in June, there's an Environmental Action Day, but I don't know whether the council is going to plan to do something that says, let's clean up our towns and villages and clean up our verges. I mean, they've had quite a few campaigns around the district about not leaving litter everywhere.
I'm really passionate about it. I would have had a bag out of the boot and gone out there and cleared up a bit myself, really.
I know when I drove out of Purton out on the Hitchin Road, there's a load of bags which I put in a fly tipping thing in there. I did post it in Purton, and I did email, because Claire Morgan mentioned to email the officer for
there's two large dumping areas up there as well.
I don't know whether they've gone yet. I was going to go and have another look tomorrow by driving, but yeah, I totally agree. I think
it's getting worse, I think.
Yeah.
People's excuses.
I agree about fly tipping.
Mm. And going on walks, that's the other thing. Doggy bags. Mm. They don't take them home with them. They just leave them hanging on branches, I noticed. Mm. I can't believe this.
I think that, and I don't know about your village, but certainly right in Holwell.
Yeah.
there's more dogs. Everybody seems to have got a pet puppy. COVID.
I just don't understand why people don't take the rubbish home. It's quite appalling,
Okay.
Couldn't agree more.
Okay. Yeah, we'd agree with that as well. Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's very useful. Okay, in that case, I think thank you for your input and feedback. That's very useful. And I think certainly we will look to see if we can get some, certainly make sure we get all the parish councils invited for when the police come, because I always think that's a very interesting report. And being minded that the police aren't getting around to parish councils, I'm very pleased so many of you actually have come tonight and stay till the end, even better.
Yeah, with the parish council and the representatives we had this evening, which I think is absolutely brilliant, would it be maybe an idea to have a little bit of a tiny town talk before the Southern Rural formal meeting in the future, so they can come and talk to us in exactly the same way as we're talking right now?
We can. We did talk about it last year doing it. We were going to do it. And then COVID hit and we didn't do it because I was trying to think about what we could do because we don't have the rural conference anymore. But whether we do it before our business or after our business,
it's been a super meeting this evening and well chaired. Thank you.
Well, it is the last meeting that we actually have this civic year. So it's until we meet again, and the next formal meeting will actually be on the 24th of June. So whether we'll be back in the council chamber then having meetings or wherever. So I was going to say, for those that are standing or involved in elections, good luck and hope to see everybody back after May. Thank you very much. I will close the meeting at this point.
Thank you. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good
night.
Good
night.
Bye.
Bye, Claire. Night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
Is IT support killed it?
Lewis, are we offline?